The Pilgrim's Progress. From This World to That Which Is to Come. By John Bunyan. Copyright 2013. Hail and Fire. This audiobook is provided free by the Hail and Fire online library at hailandfire.com. This audiobook is composed of a lightly edited text and is not licensed for republication in any form without prior written consent. A URL, link to the Hail and Fire online library and bookstore may be published in order to encourage downloading of this audiobook. The Pilgrim's Progress. From This World to That Which Is to Come. Delivered under the similitude of a dream. By John Bunyan. The author's apology for his book. When at the first I took my pen in hand thus for to write, I did not understand that I at all should make a little book in such a mode. Nay, I had undertook to make another, which, when almost done, before I was aware, I this begun. And thus it was, I, writing of the way and race of saints, in this our gospel day, fell suddenly into an allegory about their journey, and the way to glory, in more than 20 things which I set down. This done, I 20 more had in my crown, and they again began to multiply, like sparks that from the coals of fire do fly. Nay, then, thought I, if that you breed so fast, I'll put you by yourselves, lest you at last should prove ad infinitum, and eat out the book that I already am about. Well, so I did. But yet I did not think to show to all the world my pen and ink in such a mode. I only thought to make I knew not what. Nor did I undertake thereby to please my neighbor, no, not I. I did it my own self to gratify. Neither did I but vacant seasons spend in this my scribble. Nor did I intend but to divert myself in doing this from worser thoughts which make me do amiss. Thus, I set pen to paper with delight, and quickly had my thoughts in black and white. For, having now my method by the end, still as I pulled, it came. And so I penned it down, until it came at last to be, for length and breadth, the bigness which you see. Well, when I had thus put mine ends together, I showed them others, that I might see whether they would condemn them, or them justify, and some said, let them live. Some, let them die. Some said, John, print it. Others said, not so. Some said, it might do good. Others said, no. Now was I in a strait, and did not see which was the best thing to be done by me. At last I thought, since you are thus divided, I print it will, and so the case decided. For, thought I, some, I see, would have it done, though others in that channel do not run, to prove, then, who advised for the best. Thus I thought fit to put it to the test. I further thought, if now I did deny those that would have it, thus to gratify, I did not know but hinder them I might of that which would to them be great delight. For those which were not for its coming forth, I said to them, offend you I am loath, yet, since your brethren pleased with it be, forbear to judge till you do further see. If that thou wilt not read, let it alone. Some love the meat, some love to pick the bone. Yea, that I might them better palliate, I did to with them thus expostulate. May I not write in such a style as this? In such a method, too, and yet not miss my end, thy good. Why may it not be done? Dark clouds bring waters, when the bright bring none. Yea, dark or bright, if they their silver drops cause to descend, the earth, by yielding crops, gives praise to both, and carpeth not at either, but treasures up the fruit they yield together. Yea, so comix is both, that in her fruit none can distinguish this from that, they suit her well when hungry. But, if she be full, she spews out both, and makes their blessings null. You see the ways the fisherman doth take to catch the fish. What engines doth he make? Behold how he engageth all his wits, also his snares, lines, angles, hooks, and nets. Yet fish there be, that neither hook, nor line, nor snare, nor net, nor engine can make thine. They must be groped for, and be tickled too, or they will not be catched, hate single quote ER you do. How does the fowler seek to catch his game by divers means? All which one cannot name, his guns, his nets, his lime twigs, light, and bell, he creeps, he goes, he stands. Yea, who can tell of all his postures? Yet there's none of these will make him master of what fowls he please. Yea, he must pipe and whistle to catch this, yet, if he does so, that bird he will miss. If that a pearl may in a toad's head them well, and may be found too in an oyster shell. If things that promise nothing do contain what better is than gold. Who will disdain, that have an inkling of it, there to look, that they may find it? Now, my little book. Though void of all these paintings that may make it with this or the other man to take, is not without those things that do excel what do in brave but empty notions dwell. All, yet I am not fully satisfied, that this your book will stand, when soundly tried. Why, what's the matter? It is dark. What though? But it is feigned. What of that? I trow. Some men, by feigned words, as dark as mine, make truth to spangle and its rays to shine. But they want solidness. Speak, man, thy mind. They drown the weak. Metaphors make us blind. Solidity, indeed, becomes the pen of him that writeth things divine to men. But must I needs want solidness, because by metaphors I speak? Were not God's laws, his gospel laws, in olden times held forth by types, shadows, and metaphors? Yet loath will any sober man be to find fault with them, lest he be found for to assault the highest wisdom. No, he rather stoops, and seeks to find out what by pins and loops, by calves and sheep, by heifers and by rams, by birds and herbs, and by the blood of lambs, God speaketh to him. Unhappy is he that finds the light and grace that in them be. Be not too forward, therefore, to conclude that I want solidness, that I am rude. All things solid in show not solid be. All things in parables despise not we. Lest things most hurtful lightly we receive, and things that good are, of our souls bereave. My dark and cloudy words, they do but hold the truth, as cabinets enclose the gold. The prophets used much by metaphors to set forth truth. Yea, whoso considers Christ, his apostles too, shall plainly see, that truths to this day in such mantles be. Am I afraid to say, that holy writ, which for its style and phrase puts down all wit, is everywhere so full of all these things, dark figures, allegories? Yet there springs from that same book that lustre, and those rays of light, that turn our darkest nights to days. Come, let my carper to his life now look, and find there darker lines than in my book he findeth any. Yea, and let him know, that in his best things there are worse lines too. May we but stand before impartial men, to his poor one I dare adventure 10, that they will take my meaning in these lines far better than his lies in silver shrines. Come, truth, although in swaddling clouds, I find, informs the judgment, rectifies the mind, pleases the understanding, makes the will submit. The memory too it doth fill with what doth our imaginations please. Likewise it tends our troubles to appease. Sound words, I know, Timothy is to use, and old wife's fables he is to refuse. But yet grave Paul him nowhere did forbid the use of parables, in which lay hid that gold, those pearls, and precious stones that were worth digging for, and that with greatest care. Let me add one word more. O man of God, art thou offended? Dost thou wish I had put forth my matter in another dress? Or, that I had in things been more express? Three things let me propound, then I submit to those that are my betters, as is fit. 1. I find not that I am denied the use of this my method, so I no abuse put on the words, things, readers, or be rude in handling figure or similitude, in application. But, all that I may, seek the advance of truth this or that way denied, did I say? Nay, I have leave. Example 2, and that from them that have God better pleased, by their words or ways, than any man that breatheth nowadays. Thus to express my mind, thus to declare things unto thee that excellentest are. 2. I find that men, as high as trees, will write dialogue-wise. Yet no man doth them slight for writing so. Indeed, if they abuse truth, cursed be they, and the craft they use to that intent. But yet let truth be free to make her sallies upon thee and me, which way it pleases God. For who knows how, better than he that taught us first to plough, to guide our mind and pens for his design? And he makes base things usher and divine. 3. I find that Holy Writ in many places hath semblance with this method, where the cases do call for one thing, to set forth another. Use it I may, then, and yet nothing smother truth's golden beams, nay, by this method may make it cast forth its rays as light as day. And now before I do put up my pen, I'll show the profit of my book, and then commit both thee and it unto that hand that pulls the strong down, and makes weak ones stand. This book it chalketh out before thine eyes the man that seeks the everlasting prize. It shows you whence he comes, whither he goes, what he leaves undone, also what he does. It also shows you how he runs and runs, till he unto the gate of glory comes. It shows, too, who set out for life amain, as if the lasting crown they would obtain. Here also you may see the reason why they lose their labor, and like fools do die. This book will make a traveler of thee, if by its counsel thou wilt rule be. It will direct thee to the holy land, if thou wilt its directions understand, yea, it will make the slothful active be, the blind also delightful things to see. Art thou for something rare and profitable? Wouldest thou see a truth within a fable? Art thou forgetful? Wouldest thou remember from New Year's Day to the last of December? Then read my fancies. They will stick like burrs, and may be, to the helpless, comforters. This book is writ in such a dialect as may the minds of listless men affect. It seems a novelty, and yet contains nothing but sound and honest gospel strains. Wouldst thou divert thyself from melancholy? Wouldst thou be pleasant, yet be far from folly? Wouldst thou read riddles, and their explanation? Or else be drowned in thy contemplation? Dost thou love picking meat? Or wouldst thou see a man in the clouds, and hear him speak to thee? Wouldst thou be in a dream, and yet not sleep? Or wouldst thou in a moment laugh and weep? Wouldst thou lose thyself and catch no harm, and find thyself again without a charm? Wouldst read thyself, and read thou knowest not what, and yet know whether thou art blessed or not, by reading the same lines? Oh, then come hither, and lay my book, thy head, and heart together. John Bunyan. The Pilgrim's Progress in the Similitude of a Dream. As I walked through the wilderness of this world, I lighted on a certain place where was a den, and I laid me down in that place to sleep, and, as I slept, I dreamed a dream. I dreamed, and behold, I saw a man clothed with rags, standing in a certain place, with his face from his own house, a book in his hand, and a great burden upon his back. I looked, and saw him open the book, and read therein. And, as he read, he wept, and trembled. And, not being able longer to contain, he broke out with a lamentable cry, saying, "What shall I do?" In this plight, therefore, he went home and refrained himself as long as he could, that his wife and children should not perceive his distress. But he could not be silent long, because that his trouble increased. Wherefore at length he brake his mind to his wife and children. And thus he began to talk to them. "O my dear wife," said he, "and you the children of my bowels, I, your dear friend, am in myself undone by reason of a burden that lieth hard upon me. Moreover, I am for certain informed that this our city will be burnt with fire from heaven, in which fearful overthrow, both myself, with thee my wife, and you my sweet babes, shall miserably come to ruin, except the which yet I see not some way of escape can be found, whereby we may be delivered." At this his relations were sore amazed, not for that they believed that what he had said to them was true, but because they thought that some frenzied distemper had got into his head. Therefore, it drawing towards night, and they hoping that sleep might settle his brains, with all haste they got him to bed. But the night was as troublesome to him as the day. Wherefore, instead of sleeping, he spent it in sighs and tears. So, when the morning was come, they would know how he did. He told them, worse and worse. He also set to talking to them again. But they began to be hardened. They also thought to drive away his distemper by harsh and surly carriages to him. Sometimes they would deride, sometimes they would chide, and sometimes they would quite neglect him. Wherefore he began to retire himself to his chamber, to pray for and pity them, and also to condole his own misery. He would also walk solitarily in the fields, sometimes reading, and sometimes praying, and thus for some days he spent his time. Now, I saw, upon a time, when he was walking in the fields, that he was, as he was wont, reading in his book, and greatly distressed in his mind. And, as he read, he burst out, as he had done before, crying, "What shall I do to be saved?" I saw also that he looked this way and that way, as if he would run. Yet he stood still, because, as I perceived, he could not tell which way to go. I looked then, and saw a man named Evangelist coming to him and asked, "Wherefore dost thou cry?" He answered, "Sir, I perceive by the book in my hand, that I am condemned to die, and after that to come to judgment. And I find that I am not willing to do the first, nor able to do the second." Christian no sooner leaves the world but meets Evangelist, who lovingly him greets with tidings of another, and doth show him how to mount that from this below. Then said Evangelist, "Why not willing to die, since this life is attended with so many evils?" The man answered, "Because I fear that this burden is upon my back will sink me lower than the grave, and I shall fall into the fit. And, sir, if I be not fit to go to prison, I am not fit, I am sure, to go to judgment, and from thence to execution. And the thoughts of these things make me cry." Then said Evangelist, "If this be thy condition, why standest thou still?" He answered, "Because I know not whither to go." Then he gave him a parchment roll, and there was written within, "Flee from the wrath to come." The man therefore read it, and looking upon Evangelist very carefully, said, "Whither must I fly?" Then said Evangelist, pointing with his finger over a very wide field, "Do you see yon the wicket gate?" The man said, "No." Then said the other, "Do you see yonder shining light?" He said, "I think I do." Then said Evangelist, "Keep that light in your eye, and go up directly thereto, so shalt thou see the gate. At which, when thou knockest, it shall be told thee what thou shalt do." So I saw in my dream that the man began to run. Now, he had not run far from his own door, but his wife and children, perceiving it, began to cry after him to return. But the man put his fingers in his ears, and ran on, crying, "Life! Life! Eternal life!" So he looked not behind him, but fled towards the middle of the plain. The neighbors also came out to see him run. And, as he ran, some mocked, others threatened, and some cried after him to return. And, among those that did so, there were two that resolved to fetch him back by force. The name of the one was Obstinate and the name of the other Pliable. Now, by this time, the man was got a good distance from them. But, however, they were resolved to pursue him, which they did, and in a little time they overtook him. Then said the man, "Neighbors, wherefore are ye come?" They said, "To persuade you to go back with us." But he said, "That can by no means be. You dwell," said he, "in the city of destruction, the place also where I was born. I see it to be so. And, dying there, sooner or later, you will sink lower than the grave, into a place that burns with fire and brimstone. Be content, good neighbors, and go along with me." Obstinate. "What?" said Obstinate, "and leave our friends and our comforts behind us?" Christian. "Yes," said Christian, for that was his name, because that all which you shall forsake is not worthy to be compared with the little of that which I am seeking to enjoy. And, if you will go along with me, and hold it, you shall fare as I myself. For there, where I go, is enough and to spare. Come away, and prove my words. Obstinate. What are the things you seek, since you leave all the world to find them? Christian. I seek an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, and it is laid up in heaven, and safe there, to be bestowed, at the time appointed, on them that diligently seek it. Read it so, if you will, in my book. Obstinate. Tush. Said Obstinate, away with your book. Will you go back with us or no? Christian. No, not I, said the other, because I have laid my hand to the plough. Obstinate. Come, then, neighbour Pliable, let us turn again, and go home without him. There is a company of these crazy-headed coxcombs, that, when they take a fancy by the end, are wiser in their own eyes than seven men that can render a reason. Pliable. Then said Pliable, don't revile. If what the good Christian says is true, the things he looks after are better than ours, my heart inclines to go with my neighbour. Obstinate. What? More fools still. Be ruled by me, and go back. Who knows whither such a brain-sick fellow will lead you? Go back, and be wise. Christian. Nay, but do thou come with thy neighbour, Pliable. There are such things to be had which I spoke of, and many more glorious besides. If you believe not me, read here in this book. And for the truth of what is expressed therein, behold, all is confirmed by the blood of him that made it. Pliable. Well, neighbour Obstinate, said Pliable, I begin to come to a point. I intend to go along with this good man, and to cast in my lot with him, but, my good companion, do you know the way to this desired place? Christian. I am directed by a man, whose name is Evangelist, to speed me to a little gate that is before us, where we shall receive instructions about the way. Pliable. Come, then, good neighbour, let us be going. Then they went both together. Obstinate. And I will go back to my place, said Obstinate. I will be no companion of such misled, fantastical fellows. Now, I saw in my dream, that when Obstinate was gone back, Christian and Pliable went talking over the plain. And thus they began their discourse. Christian. Come, neighbour Pliable, how do you do? I am glad you are persuaded to go along with me. Had even Obstinate himself but felt what I have felt of the powers and terrors of what is yet unseen, he would not thus lightly have given us the back. Pliable. Come, neighbour Christian, since there are none but us two here, tell me now further what the things are, and how to be enjoyed, whither we are going. Christian. I can better conceive of them with my mind, than speak of them with my tongue. God's things unspeakable, but yet, since you are desirous to know, I will read of them in my book. Pliable. And do you think that the words of your book are certainly true? Christian. Yes, verily. For it was made by him that cannot lie. Pliable. Well said. What things are they? Christian. There is an endless kingdom to be inhabited, and everlasting life to be given us, that we may inhabit that kingdom forever. Pliable. Well said. And what else? Christian. There are crowns and glory to be given us, and garments that will make us shine like the sun in the firmament of heaven. Pliable. This is very pleasant. And what else? Christian. There shall be no more crying, nor sorrow, for he that is owner of the place will wipe all tears from our eyes. Pliable. And what company shall we have there? Christian. There we shall be with seraphims and cherubims, creatures that will dazzle your eyes to look on them. There also you shall meet with thousands and ten thousands that have gone before us to that place. None of them are hurtful, but loving and holy. Every one walking in the sight of God, and standing in his presence with acceptance forever. In a word, there we shall see the elders with their golden crowns, there we shall see the holy virgins with their golden harps, There we shall see men that by the world were cut in pieces, burnt in flames, eaten of beasts, drowned in the seas, for the love that they bear to the Lord of the place, all well, and clothed with immortality as with a garment. Pliable. The hearing of this is enough to ravish one's heart. But are these things to be enjoyed? How shall we get to be sharers thereof? Christian. The Lord, the governor of the country, hath recorded that in this book, the substance of which is, if we be truly willing to have it, he will bestow it upon us freely. Pliable. Well, my good companion, glad am I to hear of these things, come on, let us mend our pace. Christian. I cannot go so fast as I would, by reason of this burden that is on my back. Now I saw in my dream, that just as they had ended this talk they drew near to a very miry slough, that was in the midst of the plain, and they, being heedless, did both fall suddenly into the bog. The name of the slough was Despond. Here, therefore, they wallowed for a time, being grievously bedaubed with the dirt. And Christian, because of the burden that was on his back, began to sink in the mire. Pliable. Then said Pliable, Ah! Neighbor Christian, where are you now? Christian. Truly, said Christian, I do not know. Pliable. At this Pliable began to be offended, and angrily said to his fellow, Is this the happiness you have told me all this while of? If we have such a speed at our first setting out, what may we expect betwixt this and our journeys and? May I get out again with my life, you shall possess the brave country alone for me. And, with that, he gave a desperate struggle or two, and got out of the mire on that side of the slough which was next to his own house, so away he went, and Christian saw him no more. Wherefore Christian was left to tumble in the slough of Despond alone, but still he endeavoured to struggle to that side of the slough that was still further from his own house, and next to the wicket gate. The which he did, but could not get out, because of the burden that was upon his back. But I beheld in my dream, that a man came to him, whose name was Help, and asked him, what he did there. Christian. Sir, said Christian, I was bid go this way by a man called Evangelist, who directed me also to yonder gate, that I might escape the wrath to come. And as I was going thither I fell in tear. Help. But why did not you look for the steps? Christian. Fear followed me so hard, that I fled the next way, and fell in. Help. Then said he, Give me thy hand. So he gave him his hand, and he drew him out, and set him upon sound ground, and bid him go on his way. Then I stepped to him that plucked him out, and said, Sir, wherefore, since over this place is the way from the city of destruction to yonder gate, is it that this plat is not mended, that poor travellers might go thither with more security? And he said unto me, This miry slough is such a place as cannot be mended. It is the descent whither the scum and filth that attends conviction for sin doth continually run, and therefore it is called the Slough of Despond. For still, as the sinner is awakened about his lost condition, there ariseth in his soul many fears, and doubts, and discouraging apprehensions, which all of them get together, and settle in this place. And this is the reason of the badness of this ground. It is not the pleasure of the king that this place should remain so bad. His labourers also have, by the direction of his majesty's surveyors, been for above these 1600 years employed about this patch of ground, if perhaps it might have been mended, yea, and to my knowledge, said he, here have been swallowed up at least 20,000 cart loads, yea, millions of wholesome instructions, that have at all seasons been brought from all places of the king's dominions, and they that can tell, say they are the best materials to make good ground of the place. If so be, it might have been mended, but it is the Slough of Despond still, and so will be when they have done what they can. True, there are, by the direction of the lawgiver, certain good and substantial steps, placed even through the very midst of this slough. But at such time as this place doth much spew out its filth, as it doth against change of weather, these steps are hardly seen. Or, if they be, men, through the dizziness of their heads, step beside, and then they are bemired to purpose, notwithstanding the steps be there. But the ground is good when they are once got in at the gate. Now, I saw in my dream, that by this time Pliable was got home to his house again, so that his neighbours came to visit him. And some of them called him wise man for coming back, and some called him fool for hazarding himself with Christian, others again did mock at his cowardliness, saying, "Surely, since you began to venture, I would not have been so base to have given out for a few difficulties." So Pliable sat sneaking among them. But at last he got more confidence, and then they all turned their tails, and began to deride poor Christian behind his back. And thus much concerning Pliable. Now, as Christian was walking solitarily by himself, he espied one afar off, come crossing over the field to meet him. And their hap was to meet just as they were crossing the way of each other. The gentleman's name that met him was Mr. Worldly Wiseman. He dwelt in the town of Carnal Policy, a very great town, and also hard by from whence Christian came. This man, then, meeting with Christian, and having some inkling of him, for Christian's setting forth from the city of destruction was much noised abroad, not only in the town where he dwelt, but also it began to be the town talk in some other places. Mr. Worldly Wiseman, therefore, having some guess of him, by beholding his laborious going, by observing his sighs and groans, and the like, began thus to enter into some talk with Christian. Worldly Wiseman: "How now, good fellow, whither away after this burdened manner?" Christian: "A burdened man, indeed, as ever, I think, poor creaturehood. And whereas you ask me, whither away? I tell you, sir, I am going to yonder wicket gate before me. For there, as I am informed, I shall be put into a way to be rid of my heavy burden." Worldly Wiseman: "Hast thou a wife and children?" Christian: "Yes. But I am so laden with this burden that I cannot take the pleasure in them as formerly. Methinks I am as if I had none." Worldly Wiseman: "Wilt thou hearken unto me if I give thee counsel?" Christian: "If it be good, I will. For I stand in need of good counsel." Worldly Wiseman: "I would advise thee, then, that thou with all speed get thyself rid of thy burden, for thou wilt never be settled in thy mind till then, nor canst thou enjoy the benefits of the blessing which God hath bestowed upon thee till then." Christian: "That is that which I seek for, even to be rid of this heavy burden. But get it off myself, I cannot. Nor is there any man in our country that can take it off my shoulders. Therefore am I going this way, as I told you, that I may be rid of my burden." Worldly Wiseman: "Who bid thee go this way to be rid of thy burden?" Christian: "A man that appeared to me to be a very great and honourable person. His name, as I remember, is Evangelist." Worldly Wiseman: "I beshrew him for his counsel. There is not a more dangerous and troublesome way in the world than is that unto which he hath directed thee, and that thou shalt find, if thou wilt be ruled by his counsel. Thou hast met with something, as I perceive, already. For I see the dirt of the slough of despond is upon thee. But that slough is the beginning of the sorrows that do attend those that go on in that way. Hear me, I am older than thou. Thou art like to meet with, in the way which thou goest, wearisomeness, painfulness, hunger, perils, nakedness, sword, lions, dragons, darkness, and, in a word, death, and what not. These things are certainly true, having been confirmed by many testimonies. And why should a man so carelessly cast away himself, by giving heed to a stranger?" Christian: "Why, sir, this burden upon my back is more terrible to me than all these things which you have mentioned. Nay, methinks I care not what I meet with in the way, if so be I can also meet with deliverance from my burden." Worldly Wiseman: "How camest thou by the burden at first?" Christian: "By reading this book in my hand." Worldly Wiseman: "I thought so. And it is happened unto thee as to other weak men, who, meddling with things too high for them, do suddenly fall into thy distractions. Which distractions do not only unman men, as thine, I perceive, have done thee, but they run them upon desperate ventures to obtain they know not what. Christian. I know what I would obtain. It is ease for my heavy burden. Worldly wise man. But why wilt thou seek for ease this way, seeing so many dangers attend it? Especially since, hadst thou but patience to hear me, I could direct thee to the obtaining of what thou desirest, without the dangers that thou in this way wilt run thyself into. Yea, and the remedy is at hand. Besides, I would add, that instead of those dangers, thou shalt meet with much safety, friendship, and content. Christian. Pray, sir, open this secret to me. Worldly wise man. Why, in yonder village, the village is named Morality, there dwells a gentleman whose name is Legality, a very judicious man, and a man of very good name, that is skilled to help men off with such burdens as thine are from their shoulders. Yea, to my knowledge, he hath done a great deal of good this way. Aye, and besides, he hath skill to cure those that are somewhat crazed in their wits with their burdens. To him, as I said, thou mayst go, and be helped presently. His house is not quite a mile from this place, and if he should not be at home himself, he hath a pretty young man to his son, whose name is Civility, that can do it. To speak on as well as the old gentleman himself. There, I say, thou mayst be eased of thy burden. And if thou art not minded to go back to thy former habitation, as, indeed, I would not wish thee, thou mayst send for thy wife and children to thee to this village, where there are houses now stand empty, one of which thou mayst have at reasonable rates. Provision is there also cheap and good. And that which will make thy life the more happy is, to be sure, there thou shalt live by honest neighbors, in credit and good fashion. Now was Christian somewhat at a stand. But presently he concluded, if this be true, which this gentleman hath said, my wisest course is to take his advice. And with that he thus further spoke. Christian. Sir, which is my way to this honest man's house? Worldly wise man. Do you see yonder hill? Christian. Yes, very well. Worldly wise man. By that hill you must go, and the first house you come at is his. So Christian turned out of his way to go to Mr. Legality's house for help. But, behold, when he was got now hard by the hill, it seemed so high, and also that side of it that was next the wayside did hang so much over, that Christian was afraid to venture further, lest the hill should fall on his head. Wherefore there he stood still and wotted not what to do. Also his burden now seemed heavier to him than while he was in his way. There came also flashes of fire out of the hill, that made Christian afraid that he should be burned. Here, therefore, he sweat and did quake for fear. When Christians unto carnal men give ear, out of their way they go, and pay for't dear. For master worldly wise man can but show a saint the way to bondage and to woe. And now he began to be sorry that he had taken Mr. Worldly Wiseman's counsel. And with that he saw Evangelist coming to meet him, at the sight also of whom he began to blush for shame. So Evangelist drew nearer and nearer, and coming up to him, he looked upon him with a severe and dreadful countenance, and thus began to reason with Christian. Evangelist. What dost thou here, Christian? Said he. At which words Christian knew not what to answer. Wherefore at present he stood speechless before him. Then said Evangelist further, art not thou the man that I found crying without the walls of the city of destruction? Christian. Yes, dear sir, I am the man. Evangelist. Did not I direct thee the way to the little wicket gate? Christian. Yes, dear sir, said Christian. Evangelist. How is it, then, that thou art so quickly turned aside? For thou art now out of the way. Christian. I met with a gentleman so soon as I had got over the slough of despond, who persuaded me that I might, in the village before me, find a man that would take off my burden. Evangelist. What was he? Christian. He looked like a gentleman, and talked much to me, and got me at last to yield. So I came hither. But when I beheld this hill, and how it hangs over the way, I suddenly made a stand lest it should fall on my head. Evangelist. What said that gentleman to you?
Christian.
Why, he asked me whither I was going, and I told him.
Evangelist.
And what said he then?
Christian.
He asked me if I had a family. And I told him.
But, said I am so loaden with the burden that is on my back, that I cannot take pleasure in them as formerly.
Evangelist. And what said he then?
Christian.
He bid me with speed get rid of my burden, and I told him that it was ease that I sought. And said I am therefore going to yonder gate, to receive further direction how I may get to the place of deliverance. So he said that he would show me a better way, and short, not so attended with difficulties as the way, sir, that you set me in.
Which way, said he, will direct you to a gentleman's house that hath skill to take off these burdens.
So I believed him, and turned out of that way into this, if haply I might be soon eased of my burden. But when I came to this place, and beheld things as they are, I stopped for fear, as I said, of danger, but I now know not what to do.
Evangelist.
Then, said Evangelist, stand still a little, that I may show thee the words of God. So he stood trembling. Then said Evangelist, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape, if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. He said, moreover, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. He also did thus apply them, thou art the man that art running into this misery. Thou hast begun to reject the counsel of the Most High, and to draw back thy foot from the way of peace, even almost to the hazarding of thy perdition. Then Christian fell down at his feet as dead, crying, woe is me, for I am undone. At the sight of which Evangelist caught him by the right hand, saying, all manner of sin and blasphemies shall be forgiven unto men. Be not faithless, but believing. Then did Christian again a little revive, and stood up trembling, as at first, before Evangelist. Then Evangelist proceeded, saying, give more earnest heed to the things that I shall tell thee of. I will now show thee who it was that deluded thee, and who it was also to whom he sent thee. The man that met thee is one worldly wise man, and rightly is he so called. Partly, because he savoureth only the doctrine of this world. Therefore he always goes to the town of morality to church, and partly because he loveth that doctrine best, for it sabbath him best from the cross. And because he is of this carnal temper, therefore he seeketh to pervert my ways, the right. Now there are three things in this man's counsel, that thou must utterly abhor.
1. His turning thee out of the way.
2. His labouring to render the cross odious to thee. And, 3. His setting thy feet in that way that leadeth unto the administration of death. First, thou must abhor his turning thee out of the way, and thine own consenting thereunto, because this is to reject the counsel of God for the sake of the counsel of a worldly wise man. The Lord says, strive to enter in at the strait gate, the gate to which I sent thee. For strait is the gate that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. From this little wicked gate, and from the way thereto, hath this wicked man turned thee, to the bringing of thee almost to destruction. I hate, therefore, his turning thee out of the way, and abhor thyself for hearkening to him. Secondly, thou must abhor his labouring to render the cross odious unto thee, for thou art to prefer it before the treasures in Egypt. Besides, the King of Glory hath told thee, that he that will save his life shall lose it. And, he that cometh after me, and hateth not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. I say, therefore, for man to labour to persuade thee, that shall be thy death, without which, the truth hath said, thou canst not have eternal life. This doctrine thou must abhor. Thirdly, thou must hate his setting of thy feet in the way that leadeth to the ministration of death. And for this thou must consider to whom he sent thee,
and also how unable that person was to deliver thee from thy burden. He to whom thou wast sent for ease, being by name Legality, is the son of the bondwoman which now is, and is in bondage with her children. And is, in a mystery, this Mount Sinai, which thou hast feared will fall on thy head. Now, if she, with her children, are in bondage, how canst thou expect by them to be made free? This Legality, therefore, is not able to set thee free from thy burden. No man was as yet ever rid of his burden by him. No, nor ever is like to be, ye cannot be justified by the works of the law. For by the deeds of the law no man living can be rid of his burden. Therefore, Mr. Worldly Wiseman is an alien, and Mr. Legality is a cheat. And for his son's civility, notwithstanding his simpering looks, he is but a hypocrite and cannot help thee. Believe me, there is nothing in all this noise, that thou hast heard of these sottish men, but a design to beguile thee of thy salvation, by turning thee from the way in which I had set thee. After this, Evangelist called aloud to the heavens for confirmation of what he had said, and with that there came words and fire out of the mountain under which poor Christian stood, that made the hair of his flesh stand up. The words were thus pronounced, "As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Now Christian looked for nothing but death, and began to cry out lamentably, even cursing the time in which he met with Mr. Worldly Wiseman, still calling himself a thousand fools for hearkening to his counsel. He also was greatly ashamed to think that this gentleman's arguments, flowing only from the flesh, should have the prevalency with him as to cause him to forsake the right way. This done, he applied himself again to Evangelist in words and sense as follow, "Christian. Sir, what think you? Is there hope? May I now go back and go up to the wicket gate? Shall I not be abandoned for this, and sent back from thence ashamed? I am sorry I have hearkened to this man's counsel. But may my sin be forgiven." Evangelist. Then said Evangelist to him, "Thy sin is very great, for by it thou hast committed two evils, thou hast forsaken the way that is good, to tread in forbidden paths. Yet will the man at the gate receive thee, for he has good will for men. Only," said he, "take heed that thou turn not aside again, lest thou perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little." Then did Christian address himself to go back. And Evangelist, after he had kissed him, gave him one smile, and bid him Godspeed. So he went on with haste, neither spake he to any man by the way, nor, if any asked him, would he vouchsafe them an answer. He went like one that was all the while treading on forbidden ground, and could by no means think himself safe, till again he was got into the way which he left, to follow Mr. Worldly Wiseman's counsel. So, in process of time, Christian got up to the gate. Now, over the gate there was written, "Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." He that will enter in must first without stand knocking at the gate, nor need he doubt that as a knocker but to enter in. For God can love him, and forgive his sin. He knocked, therefore, more than once or twice, saying, "May I now enter here? Will he within open to sorry me, though I have been an undeserving rebel? Then shall I not fail to sing his lasting praise on high." At last there came a grave person to the gate, named Goodwill, who asked who was there, and whence he came, and what he would have. "Christian. Here is a poor burdened sinner. I come from the city of destruction, but am going to Mount Zion, that I may be delivered from the wrath to come. I would therefore, sir, since I am informed that by this gate is the way thither, know if you are willing to let me in." Goodwill. "I am willing with all my heart," said he. And with this he opened the gate.